Haggai, as some say. I don't know which one's right. I always grew up saying Haggai, so let's go to Haggai. I'll give you a second to find it. It's in those sticky pages that don't get open very much. They're probably really white in your Bible. In the Old Testament, towards the end, the book of Haggai. Now, for those who don't know, some of these books are, they're the minor prophets. We call them minor because of why? Because they're small. Amen? They're small. Not because the message isn't as important as some of the big ones, but just what we have that God gave them is in small portions. And that's why they're so hard to find, because they're usually only a couple pages. And Haggai takes place at 520 BC, which is, that means a lot to most people. But that's about the same time as the beginning of the book of Ezra. Now, why is Ezra famous? Get a little Bible quiz here tonight. What happens in the book of Ezra? I'm sorry? Restoring, rebuilding the temple. We read in the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they all cover parts of God's judgment on Israel. And during that judgment, Nebuchadnezzar comes a couple times to Israel, three times. And the last time, he destroys the city. The temple's destroyed too. The walls are destroyed. We know Nehemiah goes back to rebuild the walls. And Ezra is there for the building of the temple. And Haggai is a prophet that comes about the same time. And I like the book of Haggai. It's easy to figure out where it fits because he's really good with his dates. He gives dates where every message he gets from God is and when it happened. And it's pretty short. And I like, there's two big parts to the book. Say yes, chapter 1 and chapter 2. That's not it though. There's part of the book where he is rebuking and part of the book where he is encouraging. And for me, it's easy to rebuke. Anyone here just that just comes naturally? Yes, thank you, my daughter. That's where she gets it from. I told you not to do... No, I'm not going to say it. The rebuking part can be easy, the finding fault. Okay, you're doing this wrong. Sometimes my wife will ask me, here, honey, try this. What do you think? It happens a lot with chili, whenever she makes a pot of chili. Taste this. Tell me what you think. You know what's easy to say? It doesn't taste quite right. It's not as good as last time. It's not the best you've ever made. And then she'll say, well, then what's missing? I don't know. I don't know what you put in chili. I can't help you make it better. I can just tell you that it's not right now. So that's the hard part. But in this book, God gives Haggai a message of rebuke, but he also gives him a message of encouragement. A couple of years before this book is written, 18 years before, Cyrus has defeated Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the king or emperor of what? Babylon. Yes, Babylon. We're going back to the Old Testament. You know, the lions, Daniel and all that happens, you know. And then he's defeated by Cyrus, and Cyrus takes over. Cyrus sent back some Jews to Israel. And in Ezra chapter number 1, I'll just read it. I wrote it down here. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So God talks to Cyrus and tells him to send back some of the slaves, some of the captured, the captive Israelites, send them back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And Cyrus then asks the people, he says, who wants to go? Let's go there. Keep your hand here in Haggai, so we don't have to try to find it again. And let's go to Ezra. Throughout the message, keep your hand there, bookmark it in Haggai. We're going to go back and forth a little bit. Let's go to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 1, verse number 2 is the verse I just read to you, where Cyrus is asking, or saying to the people, God has told me to build him a house at Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple. And in verse number 3, he asks the question, who is there among you of all his people? So he's asking, you know, his empire, who here is a person, who here is one of God's people? What are they supposed to do? If God be with him, let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. I mean, I like that because it's a testimony of how God is speaking to Cyrus. He's not a believer. He's not an Israelite. But God can still use other people. Amen. And he recognized the authority of God. And he sends back, and they say about 50,000 people probably went back to go rebuild the temple. That happened 18 years before we start Haggai. They had a good start. Within 2 years, they had gotten there. He also sent them with riches that Nebuchadnezzar had stolen from the temple. Sends them back, sends them with authority to rebuild the temple. They get started. Within 2 years, the foundation is rebuilt. Temple's going good. And then the children of Israel faced opposition from the Samaritans, from some of the Persians, and they stopped construction. And then 16 years went by. And that's when Haggai starts. The people were sent, we'll say almost 20 years ago, to start and rebuild the temple. They started well, and they got distracted. They got discouraged, and the work was never finished. And then God sends Haggai to encourage them, to rebuke them, to rebuild the temple. Verse number 1 of Haggai, 1:1. Let's go back there. Haggai 1:1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto, who's this? I want to hear people try to say it. Zerubbabel, that's how I say it. The son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to who? Joshua, the son of, more people wanted to say that one. Joshua, the son of Joshedek, the high priest, saying. So, Haggai is prophesying unto two main people. Zerubbabel, who is the? The governor. Zerubbabel is the governor. And we have Joshua, who is the high priest. Yeah, we don't need to know who he's the son of. We have the governor and the high priest. Those are two people who went back 18 years ago to help rebuild the temple. And he's preaching to them. And the first theme here in the book of rebuke, we see in verse number 5. Haggai is speaking, "Now therefore saith the Lord of hosts," what? "Consider your ways." And in verse number 7, he repeats the same words. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." They were sent, they volunteered on a mission to go rebuild the house of God. They started well, but they never finished what God gave them to start. So God has to send a prophet to remind them, consider your ways. Consider what you're doing. God, and the prophet rebukes them. He says to them, well, we're going to read the verses. Verse number 4, he says, "It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste." It says, your houses are fully built. You've got roofs on. And this house, speaking of the house of the Lord, is still it's in waste. It's destroyed. It's not done. Why are your houses finished and God's house is not finished? And he goes on with several things like this. They had the foundation built. They started well, but then they had 16 years of nothing. 16 years where they didn't finish the mission they were sent on. Christian, I believe spiritually this happens to many of us. There's times we receive something from the Lord. There's times when we know, God wants me to do this. God wants me to work in this ministry. God wants me to start a ministry. God gives me this calling. God gave me this decision. And we can start really well. And then, the same problem that happened to them, self gets in the way. Self gets in the way. Remember what Ezra was said with Ezra when he was the Cyrus was asking, who says, "Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him." He said, if God's with you, go do the work. Because when we forget the things of God and we focus on ourselves, the work doesn't get done. And he tells them, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Who has to consider their ways? First off, it's important to know that he wasn't talking to pagan idolaters. We don't see a lot of rebuke in here about worshiping Baal or Belial. He's talking to the people who volunteered, who said, yes, I want to go back. I want to do this work. I know my life could be more comfortable here in Babylon, but God needs me over there. God wants me to go. I'm going to go. And they left. They sacrificed. They were willing to leave all that to return home to a city that was in ruins, that was under oppression, to get the work of God done. So these are people who weren't, you know, these aren't the, you know, the reprobate sinners. These are good people. People who wanted to serve God. And they started so well. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7 tells us, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? How many can give testimony of others and say, no, I knew somebody who was serving the Lord and now they're far from the Lord? And how many of us could maybe more personally give testimony? Oh, I'm in church, but I'm not doing what God has for me. I'm not fulfilling what God asked me to do. There's times in the Christian life where it's dry, where it's like a drought, where nothing's growing, nothing's happening. And if we're not careful, year after year after year can go by, and we're sitting in the same place. They could still all give testimony. Hey, I made the journey. I came here. Look at that nice foundation we built. And the first year they probably thought, oh, we're going to get to it. I mean, this has just got to go by, and we're going to get right back on that job. And then another year went by. Oh, you know, things are running a little slow. We're a little behind, but we're going to get right on it. And then year after year after year after year after year until 16 years goes by and nothing's changed. Christian, how many of us can give that testimony? No, I really wanted to start having devotions. Man, I really wanted to start praying every day. Man, I wanted to be a Sunday school teacher, remember that? You know, the Lord talked to me about that sin, and I really meant to get rid of it. And year has gone by, the next year, and it's still there in our lives. Who needs to consider their ways? Go to Galatians 5. We've got to read a verse there. I think Galatians 5:7 is somewhat popular. You did run well, who did hinder you? And the next verse, two verses later, verse number 9 is a bit popular. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It just sounds fun to say. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It's like a little tongue twister here. But verse number 8, let's read 7, 8, 9. Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. What does that mean? God is not the one telling you to stop. God is not the one telling you to leave your faith. God is not the one telling you to leave your calling. That persuasion does not come from him that called you. God wants you to continue. God wants you to grow. God wants you to press on. And then verse number 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There's a verse pretty similar to that in Haggai. Let's go back to Haggai. How a little bit of sin, a little bit of the world, a little bit of self can destroy years of service to the Lord. Verse number 13, then Haggai 2:13. It's in verse 12, it's in verse 14. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Verse number 9, they talk about the flesh, the garment, the bread, the wine. Anytime something unclean, according to the law, touches something that's clean, what happens to the clean thing? It's unclean. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of sin destroys the whole thing. Those who need to consider their ways. Verse number 2, Haggai 1:2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. The first people that need to consider their ways are those who have excuses. Who doesn't have an excuse? Woo! My kids are good at giving excuses. I'm not going to tell on them too much tonight. But you, why isn't your room clean? Oh, it's because here, and it's because of him. It's because my sister stole my sock and then ran away with it, and I had to chase her, and somehow we ended up swimming in the pool. You don't think the people in Haggai's day had good excuses? They thought they were going to die if they went out there. How many of us give excuses to the Lord? Oh, when my business is better, Lord, I'll get to it. Or when things slow down. When the kids grow up, then I can really serve the Lord. Oh no, it's when I retire. Once I retire and have all that free time, then I'm going to serve the Lord. After the baby's born, then I can serve the Lord. No, when the kids graduate, then I'll have time. Then I'll have money to serve the Lord. When my health just gets a little better, you know, when I start dieting and exercising, then I'll have the energy to serve the Lord. When it's not so hot out, preacher. Man, you know the humidity. It can't just too hot. And then it's too cold, and then it's too wet, and then it's too windy, and there's always an excuse. Oh, when I graduate, when I start my new job, when I... And the list goes on and on and on and on. Consider your ways. Is it the Lord who's telling you to stop? Or is it yourself? It's because I need to do this, and my life isn't ready, and I don't know if now's the time. Who else needs to consider your ways? Those who can't seem to find satisfaction. Verse number 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but have not enough. Ye drink, but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in a bag with holes. Man, what an illustration he's giving. It says, you're spending all your time trying to satisfy what you need, what you want. You're eating, but you're never full. You're drinking, but you're still thirsty. You're putting on layer after layer after layer, and you're still freezing cold. Sounds like my wife in the winter. Nothing is working. And I like the last one. You're working all day to put your wages into a bag of holes. So when you get home, what's left in the bank? Nothing. How many can say, you know, I've spent a lot of time to have fun and I'm still bored? Oh, I don't know how many hours of TV I watched and there's nothing on. My wife likes that one. There's nothing on. I mean, I was explaining to the kids what Netflix used to be when you had to mail CDs back and forth. And before that, and I'm sure there's many people older than me who can give different stories, you know, 5 channels on TV. If you missed your program, you didn't get to watch your program and it was gone forever maybe. I miss episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger. No, I don't know what we were watching. And that was your only chance to watch it. And it was gone. How many people, you know, they watch hour after hour on television, on YouTube, on video games, and they're, you know, they don't even get anything out of it anymore. They're just doing it because they do it. How much hours did I spend working? Still no money. How much did I spend on buying this and this and that, and I still don't have what I want? That's yourself. Your flesh is never satisfied. Whatever your thing is, whether you love watching TV, some people just love working, and they can work and work and work and work. But at the end of it, what have you done for the Lord? Consider your ways. God is the only one who can satisfy. God is the only one. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Remember, guard your spot in Haggai, Luke chapter 12. I only have 2 pages of notes, and I'm already on the second page. Man. Luke chapter 12, verse number 20. God's word tells us, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You could spend your whole life doing what you think you need. You could spend your whole life in entertainment and work and relaxation and whatever thing is in your life. But in the end of it, did you give anything toward God? Because God says to this man, you know, your barns are full, but you are a fool, because you're not rich toward God. The people here in Haggai, they worked. They were hard workers. They did their best. But at the end of it, God says, you're going to have nothing, because I am not first. And God is the one who has the right to say, me first. Consider your ways. Let's go on, the next part. Let's go on back to Haggai. The last group of people who need to consider their ways, those who can't see God working in their life. Those who cannot see God working in their life. Verse number 9. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to what? Came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. My house is in waste, he says again, and you can go home to your house. You're working for yourself, and they're giving nothing to God. Verse number 10, he says, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth stayed from her fruit. I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. He says, look at everything that's happening around you. There's drought. There's famine. There's distress. Did a light bulb just come on? Brother Garrett, did we fix one? Where's Brother Bobby? We've been working on those. We're going to try to get some more going. Amen. That reminds me, after service tonight, we need to take down the chairs. Thank you. It says, all around you, things are falling apart. And what do you say? We're just not doing enough. Man, it's just a bad luck this year. How many of you can give testimony? Man, I was just fighting health all year long. Man, some kids could maybe. I studied harder than I ever did, and man, my grades just don't go up. Man, I worked more hours than I've ever worked before, and my bank account says the same thing. God's trying to show you, it's me. I'm trying to show you, you need to consider your ways and you can't see it. What does he say in that verse? Ye looked for much, verse 9, and lo, it came to little. I used to watch a show about miners, like Gold Rush. And they would find, especially the first seasons, just the tiniest little specks. And they worked for hours and hours. They lost so much money. And they were trying, and they would show this little canister with some gold. And I imagine how often in my life I'm working, I'm trying my best, and I feel like I finally got something, and God just comes along. Imagine this with that little gold. They found powder. Yeah, we found gold. And if what if someone just came by and went, they want to kill that guy. God says, you're trying. And what little bit you get home, I'm just going to blow on it. Why? Because God's a bully? God wants your life to be hard? No, it's because you're not working for Him. His house is in ruins. Your house is built. Now, I'm not preaching about starting a new sanctuary over here. I'm preaching about, are ye seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Then, the then's not in there, all these things shall be added unto you. Who's first in your life? Is it, I got to get to work. I got to do this. I got to do this. And God is nowhere to be seen. And then we get to the second part of the book. This part's really fast. But this part, let me read here. John 6:27, it says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. We work so much to put food on the table, to satisfy the physical needs. And it's so easy to put the spiritual at the end. And in Matthew 6:33, it tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then the second part of the book, go back to Haggai if you're not there. Haggai 1:13. And I love this part. God tells him to consider your ways. Consider your ways. Once God has your attention, then he wants you to change and move on and do something positive. And in verse 13, then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying what? I am with you, saith the Lord. God says, when it's time to do something, and I have your attention, and there's work to be done, God says, I am with you. Man, what a blessing. When it's time to hand out a track, and the knees are just a little clicking, and you're not sure what they're going to say, and you get that feeling kind of, I don't know, God's with you. When we're praying for an opportunity to witness somebody, maybe in the hospital, man, that can be awkward. I was praying here for Monsoon. It can be difficult to witness the family. And you have to know, no, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, and God is with me. God is with me. What a blessing to know God is with me. Verse number 14, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Joshedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. When God has liberty to move, when His spirit can stir you up, and you say, we're finally going to get to it. No, my house can wait. My things can wait. My needs can wait. What does God want out of me? God says, I'm going to go with you. And He can stir up your spirit to get it done. Chapter number 2, verse number 4. I want to go through these kind of quick. There's a lot of good ones in here. 2:4, it says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Joshedek, the high priest, and be strong, all the people of the land, saith the Lord. And once again he says, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. And then he says, fear ye not. What a word of encouragement. Fear ye not. And I like what he says before that. He's, I'm the same God who delivered you from Egypt and brought you to Israel. Are they? Israel got destroyed. They were taken prisoner away from their home, spent years in captivity. Now they're finally back, and God says, that whole time, I didn't go anywhere. That promise I made to you in Egypt is still good today. Say, I spent some time away from God. I haven't grown. I don't remember the last time I even kind of read my Bible. I didn't ask the Lord what He has for me to do. I don't know, when did I witness last? Or, man, I'm here because somebody invited me. I used to maybe come to church. God says, you know, when I talked to you, maybe 20 years ago, maybe it was just 2 weeks ago, I'm the same God. That word I told you then, it's still true today. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your pride. Don't be afraid of what others are going to say. Step up. Do the work. Follow the Lord. He goes on, verse number 8, he tells them, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. I mean, what a blessing. It costs money a lot of times to get stuff done. God says, don't worry about it. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. Can you say that about your wallet? What's in there is God's. Consider your ways. Verse number 15, chapter 2, verse 15. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord. Before the first stone was ever put down at the temple. God says, remember those days. Since those days were, when came and to an heap but 20 measures, but there were but 10. He's talking about days of want, what we just talked about, where they'd work all day, and they couldn't produce anything. It should have been 20, but it's just 10. It should have been 50 vessels, but there were only 20. In verse 17, he says, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands. And ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. He's reminding them, remember those days? Before you considered your ways, before you repented, before you came back to me? Consider now, verse 18, from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation, the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Think on those days. Why? It says, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth from this day, what does God say? Will I bless you. Do you remember all those times when you were far from me? Remember when you weren't doing my will? Remember when you were working for yourself? Remember when you didn't seek my direction? Remember how your life was? When you would work and work and work and nothing came of it? And you would look for fun and drink and party and it never satisfied you? And some people might think, man, I've destroyed my life. I've wasted so many years. But I like what he says in the start of verse number 19, the first part. Is the seed yet in the barn? To me, that says, hey, God's plan is still there. There's nothing growing right now in Israel. It's all been destroyed by mildew, by blasted, God said. It's been blasted. Like what we're going to do at the men's shootout. Boom, it's gone. God says, hey, but everything you need is still right here. You want to serve me? I got the seed right here. Let's go start replanting the fields. Man, what a God of mercy we have. When we get right with Him and we give Him our lives, when we give Him our time, when we give Him our heart, He's ready to say, all right, let's get something done. Everything you need is right here. I'm ready. And God's just waiting for you to say, I'm ready too. God's waiting for you to say, like Zerubbabel and Joshua, we'll do it. And He'll stir up the spirit in you. And He'll give you the courage you need. And He'll tell you, be not afraid. He'll tell you, I'm going to go with you. He'll tell you, from this day I will bless you. And in verse number 23, He tells them at the end, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. If you're here tonight, it's because God wants you to consider your ways. And God wants to be able to use you. Now I know, I'm not telling you everyone here needs to quit their job to be right with God. You can't work. Everyone here is going to sell all they have. We're going to live together here in the church. Amen. No one can enter the basement because that's Brother Garrett's. I'm not telling you we need to do that. I'm just asking you to consider. Consider your ways. Consider your life. Does God come first? I mean, sometimes it's just even a struggle. Oh, it's Wednesday. I better go to church. Is God anywhere close to coming first? When Sunday comes back around and, man, where did I set my Bible when I got home last week? Consider your ways. Maybe in the past you know, God asked me to do this. God told me to work in this ministry. And it's been a long time since He told me that. But consider what took its place. And tell God, God, I'm ready if You'll still have me. And I pray He'll say what He said to them. The seed's still in the barn. Let's get to work. Let's pray and end tonight's service. Lord, I thank You for Your mercy in our lives. I thank You for Your willingness to use us. Even though, like Israel, it's so easy for us to put our own needs first, to get busy about the things of the world and completely forget that Your kingdom needs to come first. And we're working for eternal rewards. We're working for an eternal God. Help us, Lord, to consider our ways. To think about what's coming first, to get it out of the way. And Lord, we look to You to give us the movement of the Spirit, to give us the courage, to give us the direction we need to get busy about Your work. Please bless us as we go our own ways this week. Help us to think about it day to day. What did I do today for God? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. You're dismissed. If you could stay and help us.